Someone else who's trying to practice his goodbyes and exit the studio right now is is my main man, Lubes, because I'm very, very, very happy to announce that we have got Simon Keys and Susie Gillett in studio from Snake City. Welcome to the show, guys. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Well, I can say that quite assertively. Lubes, we're still trying to convince.
It's not too late to leave.
No.
But listen, Lubes, tell us, why are you trying to leave? What's the problem?
Bro, there's like a big box, which is right next to me. And I think there's some stuff in there that's moving. So that's like a little bit skipped to even being there, you know?
Is it maybe the danger sign that's plastered onto the top of the box?
I think it's less than a meter away from me. So I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, guys, lay it down for us. Does he really have anything to worry about?
No, not at all. Just a black
mamba.
He should
get out, actually. Yeah, he should get out right now.
What? Yeah, black mama. Yeah. Play those all the time.
You'll be fine.
Have one at home, covered, chilling.
No. So we are going to be bringing the snakes out in about the next 15 minutes time.
No.
We are here to help Lubes get over his fear of snakes and obviously chat with the fabulous team of Snakes in the City, Simon and Susie. Guys, first question, and I feel like it's a little bit of an obvious question. Clearly have an absolute passion for what you do, but where did it all begin?
Okay, it started when I was very young. I used to go out with my friends and find frogs, toads, newts. I used to jump into rivers, go swimming, diving, all sorts of silly things. And one day I caught a grass snake and I took that home, looked after it for a little while, let it go. Then I caught an adder and it just went on from there.
And it just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, basically, right. Yeah.
And Susie, I know you actually studied a whole bunch of animal-related things.
I have, yeah. I'm a qualified herpetologist.
There we go, that's the word.
You always say it, did you?
Yeah, that's it.
I tried. I said it in my head. And then
did it come out like that?
Nope.
Which is qualified for reptiles, so all reptiles, love cool. them. And I'm just fascinated by the weird and wonderful, which is why I'm dating Simon, clearly. But it did branch out into snakes, reptiles, and all sorts of animals.
That's very cool. I was going to ask you guys how you met and if must love snakes and reptiles was a prerequisite on the CV in terms of your partners. Do you think you could ever be with someone that does not share the same passion that you guys do?
Oh, I don't know. I think it helps. It does help having that. And obviously, if you're on a dating site, to list your passions as black mambas and green mambas and that, I don't think many people will come forward.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. It kind of clears out the riffraff. You're not wasting your time.
That's
it. It narrows down the dating pool. That's absolutely awesome. So, Simon, you're talking about, you know, having snakes as a young kid, you know, growing up. Reminds me of my uncle. He was exactly the same. And we're constantly listening to these stories and my gran going on about, oh, my word, he had all these snakes in the house and, you know, tanks here and there. How did your parents feel when you were just like, this is what I'm going to do for a living. I'm going to go and capture and release snakes.
Yeah, well, my mum, it took her a while to get used to the idea. I had about 88 venomous snakes in her house at the time.
Casual.
And I was allowed one snake to start with, which was a corn snake, and very quickly grew. In about a year, I had like 100 or so.
Jeez.
I used to import snakes from all over the world and sell them to the pet trade and stuff like that. So she actually got used to it eventually, and now she could sit with a python around her, she can touch a snake, no problem at all, but it took a little while.
Okay, so your mom took a little while, but we're going to try and do it like within the next 35 minutes with Lubes.
Yeah,
he's sweating
right.
A little bit. It's okay, my China, you know I never put you in a dangerous situation.
Susie, hello.
Are you okay then?
So, have you ever actually looked back at a moment like when you thought, wow, you know, like I'm actually lucky, we were actually lucky to get out of this?
Lots, actually. I think we've had lots of close calls. There's too many, actually. And even, believe it or not, one of the dangerous parts of our job is releasing snakes. People think it's the capturing. For us, it's the releasing.
Because they're angry.
They're nervous. They're just unpredictable. Okay, so we always point the bag in one direction and it never works out like that. In fact, this year on season 4, which people would have seen on TV, Simon is in one episode where we're releasing the black mamba. It comes back at me, comes over my feet. And Simon is just saying, stay still, Sue, stay still. And then the next breath, he's like, just run. So, you know.
At least he was telling you to run and he didn't kick down himself and leave you to.
I think he was gone, actually. I think he was up the road already.
Swimming it over the back of his shoulder. You know what, guys? I'm talking about the whole release process. There was a particular episode, I think in your most recent season, that really stood out for me, where you guys went into a very rural area. You were looking for a black mamba and you were just pulling all these sheets of metal out of this very small room. And it was a Saturday afternoon. Everyone in the community had been like boozing a little bit, having a party. And now you guys are in this really stressful environment as it is, trying to remove the snake. And then the community members around you guys. And that whole process of getting that snake out of there, even just getting it to the vehicle, you know, seemed like a bit of a mission, because also there's a language barrier as well. You know, and Simon's going, get back, and people are just probably like, what is this O actually saying? Yeah. So do you feel that is probably more stressful than capturing the snake itself, as the environment that you actually find yourselves in?
It can be. Do you know what? We always say, please don't come near it, too near the snake. They can touch the snake if they controlled, but when a big crowd like that, they get very excited, especially obviously had a few drinks. It's Saturday, they're allowed to. And sometimes guys have actually reached out and tried to touch the snake on their head. And yeah, only takes one little scrape of the fang. Absolutely. And that's it, and then someone's in serious trouble. So when we've got a big crowd like that of people, we're watching ourselves, our crew, and everybody else, so it can be quite hectic.
It's a big thing.
I also think people think once they're in the bag, they're safe. They're not. They can bite through the bag. So people want to come and grab the bag or touch it, but that's so dangerous as well. So it's very hard. We have to sound, it seems a bit grumpy, but we have to shout at everyone to stay back for their safety.
I was watching that episode screaming at people at my TV, so I feel you on that one. It's like one extreme from the next. People are either running away from it or running towards
it.
Wow. All right, we're going to chat a little bit more with Simon and Susie from Snake City in about 15 minutes' time. We are going to let the snakes out of the bag, okay? And the doors are locked. Lubes are stuck in here with us. So make sure you catch us on Instagram at @HelloR&D and Lubes_SA to find out what is happening in studio. We'll be back after this. East Coast Radio. East Coast Radio. Hang out with myself, Erin D, and Lubes until 6 o'clock this evening. We're waiting for Lubes to come back into studio. We're figuring out whether or not, okay, he's made it. He's back. Well done.
I think he went to change his underpants.
Yes. I agree. We have got the team from Snake City in the building with us, Simon Keys and Susie Gillett. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Bye. Thank you.
And you know what? I've got to give you guys a hand because you've just helped Lubes get over his fear of snakes.
I actually still can't believe I did that, bro. Like,
well done.
That's some crazy. I think all those misconceptions, because like we were speaking earlier, there's so many misconceptions about snakes. Like, that's automatically think that, listen, a snake, oh, I'm gonna die now today. Like, they cool. I mean, I wouldn't go out and own one, but they cool.
Simon, Susie, tell us about these two snakes that we have in studio.
Okay, well, I'm holding a boa constrictor, which is actually from South America. It's not native to here, but it was born over here, captivity. It's a pet snake, basically. Okay. So very, very friendly. And Susie is holding a Taiwanese rat snake from Malaysia or Indonesia.
And it is absolutely beautiful. I don't even think I've ever seen one of these snakes in pictures. And yeah, she's really, really stunning.
Yeah, they're very pretty.
And the skin just feels so genuine. Like, it's so nice.
Like, yeah, it feels like plastic or leather, right?
Yeah.
People think they're wet and slimy, but they're completely the opposite. So dry, so beautiful. Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I thought they were wet and slimy and disgusting and stuff. Yeah. that's the misconception I had. So I think now I've just totally... Yeah,
they've been converted.
They're majestic. Yeah. They're really majestic animals. Dude.
Well, you're going to get a pet one now, yes?
Look, one thing at a time, one step at a time. She really kissed me, right? Was it Rosie?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Rosie and I, like, you know.
First time Lubes has ever been kissed by an actual girl. Joking.
Oh, boom.
Now, speaking of pets, guys, I've read some very interesting articles on the both of you about the pets that you have at home. Mm-hmm. What's life like in your household? What does your day look like when you wake up in the morning? What are you doing?
Okay, first of all.
Very busy. I think it's like a Disney household. You know, yeah. We've got animals here, there, and everywhere. So we've got lots of snakes.
Yeah, spiders, scorpions.
Macaw parrot, meerkat, dogs. We've got
monkeys.
Two normal animals.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, two dogs. Yeah, we've got lots of fish. There's all kinds of things here.
Frogs, geckos.
That must take a lot of work.
It's not too bad, but we're pretty quick at it. Okay. So we know we've got a routine. Mm-hmm. Every day we do it. It doesn't take too long.
It helps. We've got my mum in the studio, and she's threatened that I'm not allowed to bring home anything else that still has a pulse. because we've only got three dogs, so please take note. All right. Yeah. Please take note.
But then, like, isn't there like inter-farting between the animals at times? Like, don't they like cross pots?
You're right. There could be a complete food chain going on if you start with
And that's exactly what I was thinking.
But we're very careful. We keep them all separate. So, no problems there.
Okay,
no
cool.
Big snake eating dogs. We're fine.
So there haven't been any issues yet?
No, not yet. And hopefully never.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, Susie, I want to chat to you about something. You have worked on a couple of movie sets. One of the biggest ones that stands out for me, Harry Potter.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your role there and all of what it entailed working with animals on a movie set.
Yep, it's a job that I do when I return to England. Mm-hmm. I provide animals for the TV and movie industry. So this year, recently, I did a champagne commercial with a pig, as you do.
Champagne to pigs, yes.
Yes. Mm. And yes, I did work on Harry Potter. So I didn't do all the fluffy, cute stuff. Mm-hmm. I did the snakes, the tarantulas. There's a species called a whip scorpion. You get them here, actually. They're indigenous here. Mm-hmm. And we provided for Mad-Eye Moody's classroom.
Yes, I know exactly what scene you're talking about.
Believe it or not, we have to go into auditions. Although we know we're providing the animals, they ask us to provide an animal that would suit the role.
Okay.
So our animals have to audition. And this whip scorpion got the part. But people think they're fictitious. People can't believe they're real species.
Sure.
So when they saw this, they're like, this isn't a real animal. So he got signed up straight away.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so
I did, there was, correct me if I'm wrong, you did a scene with like over 80 cockroaches?
Yeah, that's Harry Potter, yeah, in the forest.
You can't train a cockroach.
Well, you can, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. You can.
We normally train them with the back of a flat slap in our house.
Do you know, we're not allowed to do anything like that. Very strict protocol. But yes, we had each person, there was lots of animal trainers. You have to employ lots of people. Or when the scene is wrapped, to count 10 back. So as long as you've all got 10 back, there's 8 of you, you've got 80 back,
then
which
you're
is perfect.
Right.
So it's quite manic. As soon as they say, right, wrap on that scene, we count like crazy, absolutely mad. So it's a lot of counting, lots of animals,
and
pretty crazy.
Between animal actors and real live actors, is everyone treated like royalty on set?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it.
You know, what's brilliant, and animal welfare is first and foremost, and it's fantastic. I have stopped £1 million productions or £1 million productions because I want a coffee break. Mm. I say it's my animal needs a break. My animal needs to sleep, and they go, okay, no problem. So they will stop whatever they're doing because your animal needs a break, and it's great. I go off and get some coffee.
That's absolutely fantastic. I feel like maybe your next series needs to be a behind the scenes of what is happening in all of these massive productions.
Speaking about like weird cockroaches and stuff that that you guys come across, like as a couple, what are some of the weirdest things that you've actually come across?
Well, I've been called out for snakes, and they end up being rats or bats or even monkeys, all kinds of.
We did
funny
actually have
things,
a call out. This woman said she's got a snake. It's got ears like a rat.
Yep.
Fur like a rat, pointy nose like a rat,
and a tail.
So we were like, "Hang on, I think it is a rat." So that has happened.
Yeah, I can tell you a story. I got called out many years ago here. I was actually on my own at the time, but I went to this guy's house, and he had been bitten on his lower lip, and it was quite a nasty bite. And it was in the middle of the night, so he woke up and he felt this thing on him, and he jumped out of bed, and it flew across the room. Mm. It was a snake. At least he thought it was. Anyway, I stripped his house to pieces. It took me like 3 hours. I couldn't find any snake, but he said he thinks it's living under his bed. So I cut his bed open, and in there was a great big rat. It was actually the rat was climbing up onto his bed and bit him on the lip. So it wasn't actually a snake. But I caught the rats, and then there was actually a couple of rats in here. I took them away and just released them. But yeah, he thought it was a snake, and it looked like a snake bite the way it had bitten him. But
My word.
Actually, it was a rat.
I think it proves why snakes are great, because they reduce the rats and the mice. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's a good thing.
Rather
Without snakes, we'll have disease everywhere. They control the rabbit population.
They play a very, very important role.
Yep.
And it's, and let me tell you, I would rather be locked in a room with a night adder than a rat. Not bring a rat anywhere near me.
So we're gonna test seeing as you are self-professed snake king and queen.
Yes.
We're gonna put that to the test.
Oh gosh,
go
here
on
we
there.
Go.
And we're gonna put you up against each other as well.
Nice.
So we're really gonna test you guys. It's all coming up in about 2 minutes' time. Mm. Simon and Susie in studio with us. Don't go anywhere. You tuned in with Erin and Lubes until 6 o'clock today. I gotta tell you, Lubes, I'm so proud of you. We've gone from running out the door to doing a live radio link with a snake on you.
Like, it's on me, bro. Like, now it's on my neck ish.
Listen.
Coming around my shoulders. I think it's my traps.
Listen.
The traps. We're working hard at the gym, so.
You know, we still have radio to do. You must concentrate.
Okay,
you must concentrate.
Relax.
I don't want you to be distracted over
here.
Because we're getting down to some serious business. If you've just tuned into the show, welcome to it. We are hanging out with our Snake City stars, Simon and Susie, and we are about to put them head-to-head and test their serpent knowledge against each other.
That could be disastrous.
All right, how do we feel? Who's feeling a little bit more confident here? Who do we think?
Neither of us.
If anyone needs to be putting their money on anybody?
I don't know. Depends on which snakes you talk from which country, I think.
Mm.
It might be the...
We shall see.
Wait, guys, I don't know.
I'm going to decide if I'm going to be kind to you guys or not. But
I think be kind. I think Simon should be a gentleman too.
Oh, well, I let you in.
Just putting that out there. Okay. All right. So, Lubes, do you detect like a competitive streak from?
Yes, I
can
see.
Not just me. Not just me. All right. Are we ready to get down and do this?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So what you need to do is, if you know the answer, you need to say your name.
Okay.
Okay. And once you have said an answer, it counts. If you get it wrong,
the other person gets
a point. Best out of five.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay. All right. Do we all understand the rules? Can you look each other in the eyes, please, so we can have a clean fight here? All
okay.
right. All right. Question number one. What unique vision ability do boas and pythons possess?
Unique what?
Vision ability.
Simon, their eyes.
Simon?
Vision. Their vision and their eyes.
Infrared. Susie, infrared.
Mm-hmm. Bang, bang, bang.
I know. Yeah, but not really. CO2.
Oh, guys, don't get all technical on me right now.
It can be very complicated.
Okay, we're gonna give it to Susie because she said it first. All right, you see, Google getting me. Okay, question number two. Where are Jacobson's organs located?
Susie.
Yes. All right, girls are coming in hot over here.
Girl, come on.
Very good, though, very good.
Please represent the gents. You've got to represent us.
No pressure, Simon, no pressure. All right, what is the fear of snakes called?
Susie, it's...
I don't
know it.
No, it's a Latin name. What is it? It's not serpent.
Squamata.
No? Fear of snakes.
Mm-hmm. The phobia of snakes, yeah. It ends with the word phobia. Give you that clue.
Go on the end.
Come on, guys. Lubes, what's the answer?
It's what you've got.
Ophidophobia.
Ophidia
is
ophidia
not
means snake.
Snake, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And ophidian means snake eater.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, ophidian feeder means snake eater.
And I've got to tell you, while I was looking this answer up, I found phylacrophobia.
What's that then?
Which is another thing that you don't have, Simon, is the fear of becoming bald. It's literally right under there. So I thought, meant to be. I'll share that one with you.
Thanks.
All right, so we've got 2 points to Susie at the moment. Simon, you're at the bottom of the scoreboard at the moment. Very well. Okay. Next question. What type of movement would a tree-dwelling snake commonly use?
Simon.
Susie.
Simon, that was you.
Serpentine.
Mm-mm. Constantina.
Coming in hot over here. All right, here's one that I'm hoping both of you are going to know, okay?
Go on then.
In which part of the UK would you not find any
snake? Susie, Ireland.
Yeah.
Very true. She's quicker than me.
How are we feeling? Defeated, Simon?
Yeah, but she always is quicker than me.
Oh, well, you know, that's a woman's prerogative.
Half of when we're catching snakes.
Well done, guys. And also, that last question about Northern Ireland was basically why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, there's no snakes. Yeah.
No snakes.
Same as New Zealand. Yeah.
In New Zealand don't have snakes, yeah.
Fun little fact there. So well done.
Thank you.
Susie, you are victorious. You are crowned our snake queen.
Thank you.
Well done. All right, guys, before we say goodbye to you and dive into 25 minutes of nonstop music, you guys are currently... getting into another season, hoping.
Yes.
Are you allowed to spill, or do we just have to wait and see what's happening?
Have to wait and see. So far, lots of interesting things going on.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, anyone, we're saying if you've got a snake, do give us a call.
What number do we get hold of you on? Yep. Where do we find you? Social media?
Okay, you can find us on social media or the telephone number.
It's 060-633-6054.
Okay. Easy as that. We will put that up on our Facebook page as well. And then obviously on Instagram and Facebook, where do we find you guys?
You'll find us on Snake City Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And even on our own private ones.
Awesome.
Simon.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for being in studio with us, guys.
Absolute pleasure
meeting you guys and your beautiful slithery little friends.
And Erin.
Yeah, and Erin the snake.
Yeah. We decided to name the snake Erin.
Well done, Lubes. Really proud of you. You've been brilliant. An ambassador for snakes for us.
I'm Rippy.
Very, very well done. If you guys need to check out any of the footage, if you did miss the interview, you can check out our Instagram account at HelloErinD. We've got the live video going up there. And if you would like to meet Erin the snake, we will be posting. I feel like I have to take a selfie with this chick.